What are your plans after the show ends?
I want an activity that involves jumping. I want a mystery activity. I want some reflection time.
Maybe you're an extraterrestrial, escaped from a government facility.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Thank you for joining me. It's Tuesday night, and that means it's Lisa Durden time, everybody. Hi, Lisa.
Drex, are you feeling better?
I am, thank you. Yes, it was a hell of a week last week.
I was worried about you.
I know. Well, thank you, love.
Are you going to get some medical marijuana?
I think I need to, right? Anything at this point to make a mother make it stop.
No, they're finding that medical marijuana is working well for various things. And they take out the thing that makes you high. Was it TLC?
So the THC. Yeah, so the cannabis oil.
Did you say cannibal oil?
Cannibal dial. Cannibal oil.
Cannabis, not cannibal.
No. It is the CBD.
Cannaboid.
Cannaboid.
Yeah.
Cannibal oil. Cannaboidal.
Cannaboidal. Okay, not cannibal oil. Not like people eating other people.
Right.
Okay.
No.
I was like, wow.
But at this point.
This is reefer madness.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that K2 stuff, as you would say, Lisa Durden.
Oh, yeah, the K2 is off the chain. We're talking about illegal marijuana. We're not talking about stuff made in the
I know, country. Right? That's for sure. Yes, well, for everybody listening, I think that people who listen to the show nightly, they know that I had abdominal surgery last year, and I this past week I pulled a bunch of adhesions, and then I had to be endoscoped, and then I was biopsied, and my God, it was just like one thing after.
Endoscopy and biopsy?
There you go, and it just won't stop
me. You were rotor-rooted and tutor-fruiter.
Jesus, and daddy's on rice, and I've had enough of that.
God. Seriously, you are a strong man. Seriously.
I'm hanging in there.
We're happy to hear that. Yay!
You know what I need? Thank God I'm a white guy because I carry hot sauce.
In your gym bag.
In my gym bag, yeah. In my back sack. I carry hot sauce. So let's, and Lisa Durden is in Newark, across the river from New York City. It's a big night for Donald. It looks like he has run away with 60.
OMG!
And hey, what I'm loving here is Casey coming in second so far with Donald's got 60% of the vote so far, and Kasich's in second, followed by Cruz. And I think the Cruz snooze. I think that that train has not left the station, and I don't think it's leaving the station in New York.
You ever see that one of the I was a Twilight Zone freak, and they had this episode called Willoughby, Next Stop Willoughby.
Right.
So this man, when the train stopped, it was a sunny day outside. He looked out the window. He'd been eyeballing Willoughby for the longest, and he never got off the stop because he lived in New York. He said, the next time the train stops at Willoughby, I'm getting off. Next stop Willoughby. He got off the train. People started screaming, ah! He jumped off the train and killed himself. There was no Willoughby.
Well, I don't think it's
He killed himself.
And Ted Cruz basically did this to his own campaign in New York, talking about New York values.
Yeah. You can't do that. You just can't do that. No.
I cringe. That was cringeworthy from the moment he said it. It was kind of like Hillary when she did the CP joke with de Blasio. I thought, oh, my God, you're not doing colored people, are you? I mean, that she never said that, but that was the reference.
Well, actually, I'm extra black, but this is going to be the day when I get my black car revoked. I forgot the terminology, but they do this thing kind of like every year where it's almost like a roast, and the politicians get to kind of joke around with different things. And so people thought this was an impromptu thing. It was not impromptu. It was scripted. It was planned. The black guy in the play wrote that.
Yeah, from
and
Hamilton.
They meant it to be like an off in Hamilton. They meant it to be like an off-color joke. But nobody really said the words. Colored people time.
The CP
so I felt,
time.
It was a little, I understood that some blacks, were a little angered by that, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was lighthearted. I thought it was done in such a way where it didn't seem to be, a racist. I found it was okay. But I could understand where a white person would go, oh my God, why did you go there? But
it was just really bad acting.
It was really, it was really bad acting.
It was horrifically bad acting.
And you know, she had this like long pregnant pause, like she, like maybe they were dropping her line down from the, a stork was bringing her line and delivering them in a diaper.
Yeah, they're falling actually, she was bad acting,
so she should have gotten in trouble for bad acting,
Right. Now, I will say, let me play the clip that was, you know, the clip of the week with Hillary, which is the hot sauce mess, and then is this pandering or not? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she's coughing. There's her cough.
There's always the threat of sexism and unfair treatment, but you've got to learn to deal with it, which I have over the years. Right. And my voice is failing here. But
what's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. Okay. Not,
no, seriously. Hot sauce. I've been eating a lot of hot sauce. A lot of raw peppers and hot sauce.
That's why you're coughing. You might need to slow down.
I'm having a rebellion against it because I think it keeps my immune system strong. Oh. I really do. I think hot sauce is good for you.
Well, I think it is too. The capsaicin, that's what it's all about. All right. So here's where I'm at. I take a left and I take a right on this this whole takeout with her. The coughing thing, I'm a little concerned. I'm afraid she might have COPD or whatever she did. If she has asthma or whatever. No, really, because this coughing thing has been going on for a long time now. And if she needs to break out the inhaler, just be honest and break it out. I mean, just hold on a second. I mean, I carry one around. If I need to hit it, hang on. Okay, we're good to go. All right, no big thing. Lots of people need to. That's the first thought. Then the second thought is with hot sauce. I don't think that's pandering. I don't think it's pandering now because you can tell me. Well, I don't think that you speak for all blacks, but I never considered hot sauce a black thing. I thought of it more of an Asian thing or perhaps a Hispanic thing. But look. As a lover of hot sauce who's not allowed to have any now at this point in his life, I miss my hot sauce.
Well,
hit your inhaler.
Oh, I
She's
need
pulling a Hillary.
Oh. I know, right? There you go. Hit your inhaler. It's okay.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
You might have.
The reference to hot sauce in my bag came from a guy named Mark Lamont Hill, who was in a documentary called Soul Food Junkies, which I was a producer of, actually. That was a national PBS documentary in 2013, and it went viral from that point forward. And so it doesn't mean that white folks can't have hot sauce in their bag, but everybody knows that Frank's hot sauce is a thing that black folks use on fried fish, fried chicken, fried whitings. We put hot sauce on eggs. I don't. But so it's come to be what we would consider, you know, the things that blacks do, like soul food. Soul food is considered a black food, but technically Africans don't really eat soul food. We came here on the boat and we had to make white folks' food taste good. But because we've been the ones in the kitchen cooking it and all of that, we've been attached to it. So really it is not a black thing to eat hot sauce, but it has been attached to black folks because whenever somebody's eating it, it's us.
Well, now I'm going to have to check out Frank's, especially for the wife, because she loves everything hot.
Let me tell you something. I'm not the black that feels like you have to have a certain name brand of something, but I've tried other hot sauces.
Sriracha.
I've gone to Whole Foods and had the shishi poo-poo hot sauce.
Right.
That Frank's, the hotness is in the background. Before you know it, like you're eating it, it's not killing your tongue. You know how something's so hot you stick your tongue in the water? It's like really, oh, my God. I don't know what the crack is in there. It has to be.
Well, some people love that. I mean, it really is an addicting thing. My other half, she's jalapeno and everything.
Specifically, let me tell you something. If I ever got any big money, I could be living on the hill in a compound. I'm going to send the assistant to the store for Frank's. And you cannot get Frank's in places that are not the hood. Like in the Shishi, they don't sell Frank's in Whole Foods.
Oh, well.
You've got to go to the hood.
I can Google it.
I mean, you can order it online as well, I'm sure, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why they said that she was pandering, because we're tagged with, as the hot sauce people, the Kool-Aid people, the fried chicken people, the fried fish people, the cornbread people. We're just tagged with everything.
All the good stuff. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. 808-0810 is the number if you want to, you know, throw something hot our way. 415-415-8080.
I'll take a hot check.
There you go, baby. More of Lisa Durden on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Ethel, darling, thanks to your sinfully delicious lemon squares, we'll have the new roof paid for in no time. How do you do it?
Frank's Red Hot Sauce. I put that on everything.
Frank's Red Hot Original, the perfect blend of flavor and heat.
Okay, we're back with Lisa Durden, Frank's Hot Sauce. You know, there's a commercial, and the lady says, I put that bleep on everything.
That is so funny. I've seen that commercial 1,000 times, and I laugh every single time.
All right, let's have some, you know, because you and I love pop culture. So let's talk about Chris Brown.
Yes.
Okay, so I will play this clip from Chris Brown. And he's doing a documentary about himself called Welcome to My Life. It's unclear how and when it's going to be released, but it does address the Rihanna assault. The preview clip is making the rounds. But people were saying that he never shows genuine remorse for attacking Rihanna, other than that it's a self-pity party. But we'll talk about that in a second. Let's take a listen.
But it is the first time I get to say anything.
He made that mistake because he needed help.
Yeah, that was his girl.
It felt like
that was the worst day of my life and probably of his life. I felt like I was going to lose my child.
Chris Brown in jail.
This singer Frank.
Paula, this is a serious charge.
I was thinking about suicide and everything. I wasn't sleeping. I barely ate. I just was getting high.
The more light we get, the more we have to hide our DNA.
If you truly do love Chris Brown, and you felt everything that has gone on with him.
And there has been speculation already by some that this really will end Chris Brown's career.
There was ever a doubt in your mind, Chris Brown was done, he was finished, I wouldn't bet on.
Okay, so it makes his life seem like a tragedy. It talks about how he was thrust into being a star, didn't have a childhood, how he had to deal with expectations of being the next Michael Jackson and
Cry Me a River.
Usher, Jamie Foxx, Jennifer Lopez, Mary J. Talked about how amazing and gifted he is. Then it addresses the Rihanna assault and how it almost ruined him. And there you go. But there was no apology or anything about that. And it seemed, I don't know, people were saying there really wasn't any genuine remorse other than a self-pity party.
Once you say something like, you know, you trapped me by getting pregnant. That's like saying that. Okay, I trapped your penis in my vagina and attacked your sperm and kidnapped it and impregnated my eggs. So that's the same thing. Like, it's always a victim. You weren't there. Some kind of way you weren't there. So, like, these people, like people that say that, like Chris Brown, you know, that almost ruined my life. What do you mean that? Like, you pummeled this girl in her face. You beat her to near she wasn't recognizable. And you're going to say that it ruined your life? I think you almost ruined Rihanna's life because busting up her face and her face is what she cashes at the bank is almost ruining her life. In fact, your life wasn't ruined enough. You needed to do a bid in prison. Orange is the new black.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, my God. And I'm so – listen, the man is talented. I'll put that in the other lane. But I'm sorry. While I finger snap to all of his songs, I would never be a black celebrity. Lisa Durden has to do pop culture, so it is what it is. But if I were a black celebrity and didn't need my coins, I wouldn't be even speaking to this freaking idiot after what he did to that woman. He would be so gone.
Well, and he was in the minds of a lot of people. A lot of, he stopped getting a lot of radio airplay. He stopped getting concerts. And in the eye of the public opinion, people, you know, did push him aside.
No, they're like sneaking and freaking him back in. He's been on a few award shows and
performed. That's right.
Like he just,
yes.
You know, they're
let
sneaking
it go
and
away.
Sneaking him back in. Right. There should never be a time where this guy should be accepted by black people for anything. He should be excommunicated. His career should have been over, but it isn't over. When you pummel and beat a woman, it should be over.
Well, and by the way, speaking, if you are the promotional machine behind all of that, wouldn't you say to him, this might not be a good idea? Because it just brings it all back to light, because look at us, we're sitting here talking. Yeah, we're talking about it, but not in the most positive light.
No, because here's what it is, and this is some sickness. Most people who had any kind of consideration for him were women, and a lot of them were
they
black.
They loved him, yes.
A lot of them were like, well, you know, you don't know what happened, and you don't know what Rihanna did, and, you know, how do we know what was happening? None of us was there. Like, really? If, you know, for all we know, she hit him, but if she hit him, he would have said she hit him, and he would have pressed charges against her. Like, the bottom line is not what we don't know happened, is what we do know happened. We see her face is pummeled. And so his fan base is going to eat that up. And they know this. It's a shameless sickness about entertainment. Although I need to make my coins myself. But the point of it is...
Well, he turns around and makes himself the victim.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm out of breath. Where's my inhaler? It's terrible.
No, really,
it's
that,
an abomination.
Honestly, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel that it's going. I mean, let's just flip the coin and become the victim.
Anybody who beats a woman, especially if they're, a politician or any public figure, and we discover that you've done that, should be done.
Well, I will say this about Rihanna. There is good news on her front. Today, her new single, Work, is number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for the 9th week, which gives her
a total of
60
work.
Weeks at number one over her 10-year career. That lifts her past the Beatles, who only spent 59 weeks at number one. So congratulations
smoking
to her.
Weed. You know, Drex, you and I really should start smoking weed. We're not successful enough. The girl smokes weed like she lives in the weed tree.
She looked pretty good. I think she was having a good time at Coachella.
Oh, Coachella, is there another word? yeah, she was smoking up Coachella. And she's just super successful. I got to tell you, I'm in the wrong business. I should be either in the weed smoking business or the weed selling business.
Well, while we're talking about the weed, let's talk about Whoopi Goldberg and how she's really, my God, I saw her on, I'm not sure what network, maybe it was NBC Nightly News, actually picked up the story about Whoopi jumping on the pot bandwagon, the medicinal bandwagon, and right. I thought, wow, isn't this genius of her?
Yes.
Yes, and actually she's pushing it in the female way, saying, using the medicinal, you know, the message about... menstrual cramps and these sort of things.
Right.
And I thought, well, this is just brilliant.
It's
a great
brilliant.
Angle.
Listen, it's a great angle. And we can all relate. Right, girl? We can all relate. I think this is going somewhere. Why didn't I think of that? Drex, we've got to put our heads together. There's so many psychoses and neuroses that we can explore. we've got to, you know what I should do? Oh, my God, I've got it. You know what? I call it mind racing. You ever mind race? Mind racing?
Oh, sure.
You know when you lie down and your brain just... It doesn't stop.
Every night.
Is there a diagnosis? We can use weed for that and slow it down.
Yes, you can. Actually, yes, you can.
And we can call it mind racing. That's a new, you know, some kind of psychosis that we've diagnosed.
Well, there's always Xanax.
Oh, damn. Okay.
That works just fine. That always works. Yeah. When you need to slow that down a little bit.
It's not as much fun as the weed smoking.
Oh, but you're always hating on it. So, well, good.
I know.
I know. Well, I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, let's talk about Aisha Taylor. I'm sorry, Aisha Tyler. She talked about her divorce yesterday on The Talk. And I thought that was great. And also, we'll talk about the Johnny Depp thing. Boy, that's just ridiculous. That's a lot of fun. And also...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Speaking of
the
weed.
The dog. He's a weed monster. There's no doubt. All right.
Okay.
Puff, puff, pass, pass. More of the Drex Radio Show with Lisa Durden on the way on KGO 810. Don't you wish you had this as your ringtone? Archer. Valerie Branch with me all over me tonight.
This song could single-handedly bring back bongos. Or congos. No, bongos.
Aisha Tyler was in this?
Yeah. No, they draw her. Oh, my gosh. I love Archer. I love how they draw Aisha Tyler. She's...
Yeah. Well, there's this great story in Recode about how this dude, and it's funny that you mentioned Archer, because I read this whole story on Recode about this dude who tried to download that as his ringtone.
That'd
and how
be a
impossible
great
was.
Ringtone.
No, yeah, you had to go back to 2008. You can still buy it on iTunes, but they wanted the original one, not the remake.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that I just played. And it would be a great ringtone, but it was just virtually impossible. You had to go back to the methodology of 2008 and, jump through a million.
It sounds like a real geek article.
So we're back to Lisa Durden. And Lisa Durden, so I want to talk about Aisha Tyler, and she talked about her divorce yesterday on The View. Let's take a listen.
Yeah. I just want to say that I don't, not in any way, see this relationship as a failure. I was with this extraordinary person. I had this extraordinary love affair for 25 years of my life.
Oh, that's right.
And that is how I see it. I don't think we failed. I think we did it exactly right. We loved each other passionately, and we lived life fully, and we're trying to let each other go in the kindest way we possibly can. That's what I'm going to say about the relationship, and the rest of it is none your damn business.
So it's a very personal thing to talk about your divorce on television, Aisha Tyler from The Talk. And she broke it down and actually did break down yesterday, while she was on the air.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Aisha Tyler. Her stand-up is not so great, but I love her as a personality. I love her as a TV personality. She's beautiful. She's very smart. She's a great body. Boy, would I like to bash her in the head and take that body. not so bad. Well, check out my fan page. I ain't so bad, if I do say so myself. But I've always wondered about the relationship. I mean, I can't say that because you don't see a person's spouse that there's nothing going on good. But I always thought that it was weird that, for years and years and years, she talked about this husband that she has, and she's mentioned it many times in many different ways in many different places. But I've never, ever, ever seen the husband on the red carpet or anything ever anywhere. And I found that to be strange. It doesn't mean anything, but I just found it to be strange. So when I heard about the divorce, that wasn't strange to me. I thought that was par for the course. I don't feel that even if you have, I don't date guys in the industry because I'm sort of kind of in the industry on a low level, but I'm still in the industry. So I don't need you to be in entertainment because I am. However, you're going to cross paths. Our relationship is going to bleed into each other. I'm going to go somewhere where you've got to come at some point, not all the time. So you can't be with me for 10 and 25 years and never bleed into something I'm doing. It just is going to happen. So I found that to be strange. So I just don't know how much of that was gone before 25 years and they're just now saying it's over. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, and then bringing it forward. But, a lot of people A-B themselves from their personal life to what they do in the media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just asked this recently in a podcast. Drex, you're painfully and brutally honest sometimes about your own self and your own life. And
right.
And everybody in my life sort of know, and I was asked, the question was, well, and how do you separate those two? I really don't. Everyone in my life has kind of figured out that although there might be some exaggeration because this is show business, that pretty much what I know and what's going on in my life will be probably, will make it onto the airwaves, so don't take offense to it.
No, yeah, and I'm kind of like an open book for the most part.
Right.
I dated a guy for 10 years. We broke up a year and some change ago. But you didn't see me talking about my boo. And I wasn't talking about him every week, and I wasn't, you weren't seeing me with him all the time. But there were times, I'm going to say in 10 years, I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 times where he, kind of rose like Jesus. You know what I mean?
Right.
Birthday party. Okay, I have Instagram now. I took a few pictures. Me and my boo at my birthday party. He gave me a little dinner. Because I have Instagram now. I had an award ceremony. I was given an award one time in New Jersey for being like a journalist, and he came to that. So now I don't feel the need to wear my man on my sleeve, but it just is weird. 25 years, you don't see the man ever anywhere, a red carpet anywhere, an award ceremony anywhere, a screening of something anywhere. I just, I just think that they were not together. We're not actively married for 25
well,
years.
Well, since you're talking about old school, that reminds me of the story of Dolly Parton. Now, Dolly Parton,
exactly.
If you'll recall, never, ever, her husband
exactly.
didn't want anything to do with show business, and you never saw photos of him.
Never.
Still to this day.
That's
right.
And to this day, I saw her recently. She still talks about her husband. You don't have no husband, lady. The husband is some kind of like, you know, ghost from Christmas past. I mean, where
well,
is
Well, maybe
person?
He's reclusive. He doesn't want to be in, you know, in the spotlight.
Ain't nobody that reclusive. Do you think so? Like, are you serious? Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want to be, I'm not into sports. If my husband played basketball, if I were married, I'm not going to come to all your games. It's not going to happen. But,
well,
you know, the playoffs? I mean, the playoffs? I can't come to the playoffs?
Well, you go to a Warriors game.
You know, I mean, something in the years of being married to someone. I just feel like, you know, like you said, it's old school. Like Aisha Tyler, although she looks gorgeous, she's about 50-something years old. She looks absolutely 35.
For sure.
People in their 50s and older come from a different time where you don't tell your business and you kind of make it work. And you really torture yourself before you have to tell. So I just think that marriage was over long before 25 years. She just didn't say anything. They weren't in an active marriage. I don't think there was anything going on. I think it was dead long before now.
Okay, let's talk.
She just chose not to tell until now.
Let's talk about the nonsense that was Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard. Yeah.
You mean Johnny Dope? I mean, I'm sorry, Johnny Depp.
There you go with another K2
Dope.
Reference. Yeah, so him and his wife Amber released a video this week to apologize after she tried to sneak in their two Yorkies into Australia last year. That's an offense. And people online are making fun of it because it's pretty half-hearted, I'd say. And you can tell that they had to do it, and they're reading a teleprompter. Take a listen to this.
Australia is a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia. Thanks.
Well, now, I have to tell you something. You know, the dog is supposed to be quarantined. You have to follow the rules, and I think that's a week or two or maybe a month. I don't know what it is. But when you take your dog into any country, even this country, if you're coming from another country, it is going to be quarantined. So they cheated. And
first of all, when you go to other countries, you can't bring certain things like fruit. I went to
That's
Jamaica.
Right.
I couldn't bring up ackee. I couldn't bring any ackee back.
No.
I couldn't bring any callaloo. You know, and so you're going to bring a dog with fleas and worms.
They
and
knew
ticks.
That.
I mean,
they knew
come
that.
On.
Right. And by the way, they almost euthanized these dogs. They almost euthanized these dogs.
Pistol and Boo. That's their name. And can I just say, what is this accent that John, what language is Johnny Depp speaking in?
Johnny Depp is
the
doing.
The same language that Madonna?
Speaking. Yeah, it's that fake British, ubiquitous, I've been in. Europe.
What the hell?
What? I mean.
Right. No, it's the, you know, they have almost got a gun to my head as if I'm in North Korea and I have to do this and I have to read it now.
It is important.
I have
to
read the teleprompter.
It is a unique continent and so are its people.
And here's what's interesting. Now, maybe I'm just a bougie black chick from Newark, but if I had the money that Johnny Depp has, I wouldn't even wash my own drawers. Where is your assistant? I wouldn't touch a dog. I wouldn't pick up a dog. I wouldn't do paperwork for a dog. The girlfriend said, well, we didn't do the paperwork in time. Why are you doing it? Didn't you know you were going to Australia in advance? No one just up and goes to Australia. Oh, you know, I think I'm going to catch a red eye to Australia tomorrow and bring the dog.
Keep them in the
stop.
Bag. Right, right.
They're all high.
They're Yorkshire Terriers.
They forgot. They forgot to tell the assistants.
It's Australia's war on terrier. That's what I'm saying. Bump, bump. You know, so they just, they certainly didn't use, zero acting chops on that. And
a disaster.
By the way, I mean, they're both actors and.
That was some bad acting.
They were acting like they were sorry when they weren't.
There's no award going to this.
Well,
absolutely not. No, as a matter of fact, they're going to snatch a few of them away that he's won over the years.
They should.
You know, I mean, and you know what? You know what? I would have euthanized those damn dogs. I would have euthanized their asses.
Our calls are lighting up. The phones are just lighting up now, boy.
I would have confiscated those dogs and euthanized Poo-Poo and Boo-Boo. I'd have euthanized their asses. Now, next time, watch what you do in Australia. Because it's about diseases and these things. I mean, I am such a dog lover. But because I respect animals, I don't abuse them. I don't even own a dog because I'm not going to be kind. I'm not going to be home on time. I'm not going to love you like you need. I can't spend the time that you want. And you're going to be hungry for all day till I get home. It's just abusive.
Well, let me say this, Lisa Durden. You know, if this wouldn't have been Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, if this would have been just you or I going over there and sneaking our dogs in there, that's what would have happened.
We'd have been in jail.
You threatened to lock them up for 10 years. Yeah.
Remember the boy
and
that got
fined $750. And now they're on probation.
The little bratty kid back in the 90s that got caned?
Yes.
Over there in
Shanghai.
So when you go to other countries, you've got to abide by their rules. I think he put some gum on the ground. He did some graffiti,
something like that.
You know, graffiti or something. Right. And they cane you for that. And the embassy
in Shanghai,
involved and all of that in Shanghai. And they still caned his ass. But if he was a celebrity, he wouldn't have gotten caned. Really? So you're right. They treat celebrities like celebrities. So, you know, Johnny Depp, although I love his acting, I can't Johnny Depp. Not this one, but, you know, he's a good entertainer. But Johnny Depp, come on. What were you? And then two funky dogs? Listen, I've had a dog growing up. Dogs stink. Humans stink. We got to bathe. So if I wash my dog on Monday, he's going to be funky by Wednesday. And you've got two funky dogs? Funk Master Flex 1 and 2?
No, that's what I imagine Johnny Depp smelling. That's what I imagine Johnny Depp smelling like.
I'm sure. Yeah. He looks like what we call dirty backpack. He's dirty backpack.
That's what I've, I hear he doesn't, but he certainly looks like that way, and I'm not a fan.
He would fit in prison because you only get to bathe every 3 days.
808-0810. When we come back, we'll talk about Kanye's getting sued and some more fun stuff on the way on the Drex Radio Show. On KGO810, let's take a look at traffic with Lee Graham. Has now spent, along with Drake, now has spent more weeks at number one on the Hot 100 than the Beatles. So lots of working going on. Lisa Durden is my guest, and I want to talk about Samuel L. Jackson for a second. He was denied a photo with a fan outside of a hotel in Los Angeles. Then the guy called him an arrogant punk on Twitter, and Jackson saw it and actually responded to it, quote, saying, I refused the photo politely, then you spazzed out. Learn to say please and F you. So who's the biggest celebrity to tell you to F off? Now, and then this guy Fitz had the answer. You know, he talked about this.
I was at the Roosevelt Hotel. Really, really nice vehicle pulls up. I see instantly that it's Samuel L. Jackson. He was walking up, and I really quietly, you know, I said, I would love to have a photo with you. And he goes, nope. And I said, Sam, I go, man. I go, do you have any idea how much money I've spent on your movies? I'm like, you're like my idol. I'm a fan. And he looked at me and he goes, I'm a fan of me too. And then walked off and was kind of saying a couple more things. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was heartbroken. This is Samuel L. Jackson. And I want to say, Sam, I'm just a radio guy, but I've had the opportunity to interview people and they've all treated me with you know, respect. And maybe I could come down to Los Angeles and just, from my experience, give you a lesson on, I don't know, customer service to your fans.
Oh, my God.
Because it is the fans who pay our bills, period. It just sucked. It was just a situation of treating one of your fans like crap, period. And for me, it ruined my day. I'm still ruined by it. You know what? I still love this man. I'd like to fly down to Los Angeles. I'll fly down this week if you want me to. I'll have lunch. Let's have lunch. You're very much of a jerk, period. And it sucked. That's all. I just want to say, if you're going to, you know, be told F you on Twitter by anybody, it's awesome if it's done by Samuel L. Jackson. All I have to say, probably the highlight of my life.
Indeed. Now, the fan in this case was this dude Fitz from KKWF in Seattle. So he was a radio guy. So, you know.
KKK, what the blank?
What the duh, 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 duh. Yeah.
What the blank?
Yeah, yeah. KKFU. That's what I'm saying.
KKFU. Do I believe Sam Jackson did that? Absolutely.
Absolutely. That is a Samuel Jacksonism.
He's a sarcastic bastard.
You know, it's his prerogative. I think this guy.
You shut up.
Okay. I'm
done. Hush your mouth, girl.
Okay.
Hush your mouth.
Okay, done. That's my two cents.
No, I'm kidding.
No,
go ahead. I'm listening.
I just is my two cents. I think I love it. I love that story. I think that this guy is so bent out of shape is pretty funny, and he has the gall to say how the celebrity he loves should, you know, he's owned by the fans at every moment in his life.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, he was the one being rude.
Yeah, I come down to L.A. We can have lunch sometime. Oh.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's quite presumptuous.
No, we don't agree.
Okay.
When a person politely walks up to you and say, you know, Sam, I would like to get a picture with you. You should say, okay, not a problem, and take a picture. Don't just go, nope. Or you should say, I'm sorry, I'm in a rush, I'm catching a plane. Or even if you're lying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm going to a meeting. But don't just go, nope, that's bullshit. That's such bullshit. Stop it, Sam Jackson, you ex-crackhead. Stop it. And that's a fact. You are there because of our money. And I'm not saying every single time take a picture, but at least be polite and lie and say, I'm going to a meeting, I'm in a rush. Don't say, nope. And I know he said that. So right there, you sent a message to him saying, nope. So now the guy returns the rudeness. So it's all wrong, Sam Jackson. Do you realize that you have the living you have and the lifestyle you have because of people like us? Stop that bull. We've got Instagram now. We all want a selfie. Just take the effing selfie, you bald bastard.
I love you.
I just disagree because, you know, especially being in this business, and God bless Fitz for trying to set it up, because look what it's doing, exactly what he wanted it to do. Everybody's talking about it, and you got right. 500 radio guys across the country like me playing it. So mission accomplished. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, if I run into Samuel Jackson walk into the Roosevelt, I think it's his prerogative as to whether he wants to take a picture with me or not.
And it's my prerogative to trash him on Twitter.
Oh, he did a say F
you. Now, the
only
person I care about, I mean, I take these pictures with celebrities because I have an Instagram account. If I didn't have an Instagram account, I wouldn't care as much. The only person
I'm going to... Yes, but you're interacting with them. But you're interacting with... If they're in your studio or you are with them, you're interacting.
I have those moments where I'm doing it on a professional level, but I have those random moments where I run into a celebrity somewhere and I ask for a photo. I could be on an airplane or whatever. And, you know, they're usually like, oh, no problem, they take a picture. Some of them don't say it nicely, but they just do it and struggle with the fit. Ooh, you know what was terrible? Judge Maybelline Ephraim. Ooh, I ran into Judge, remember Judge Maybelline Ephraim? You know, she got fired from Fox as a television judge. I ran into her. I hadn't seen her in 1,000 years.
Oh, I haven't seen her either, no.
Yeah, she gained about 1,000 pounds, and
I
wasn't aware that women were funny about their weight, and she didn't want to say, I'm fat, I want to be in the picture. But I said, Judge Maybelline! And she did it, but she was fussy about it. Well, no, I said, Maybelline, come on, I've got Instagram. Oh, okay. But I think she felt some type of way about her fatness, and I had to think about that later, but nevertheless. But no, Maybelline, you know, Maybelline did it.
Maybelline, oh, Maybelline.
You know, oh, Maybelline. Listen, if I ran into Oprah, everybody knows that that is my wife. I will, Oprah, I'm coming in the bathroom stall with you. I'm going to hold you up while you pull your panties down and urinate. I'm going to wipe you. I'm going to do, and she's going to call the cops. I mean, I'm going to be ready for that because I'm going to be the stalker. But like Oprah, you know, everyone loves you. Just take the freaking picture. You know, I'm going to want more than a picture. I'm just making the point. So like, he's really just an ass. Like Sam Jackson really is an ass. He really is.
But that's his shtick. That's his act. No, that's his thing.
I get it.
I mean,
I
love him for that. So boy, yeah, we really disagree on this.
All is fair in love and war. You acted rude, I acted rude, and now we both blown up Twitter.
You know what? Fitz didn't ask him, please. That's what Samuel said. So, F you.
Oh, screw Samuel Jackson. Who has time to, you just run into Samuel Jackson all of a sudden, like, Samuel Jackson, please. Like, who's thinking that? You know you're Samuel L.
Well,
Jackson.
Well, if this guy's parking his ass at the, you know, the Roosevelt, you know that celebrities are coming in and out of it.
Well, that is true, too. You made a good point. Ding,
right.
Ding,
so,
ding.
You're, yeah, yeah. There were probably paps all over the place.
Because I can't afford to be
chilling
out at the Roosevelt. You are right. I am poor.
All right.
You are so right.
Lisa Durden, at Lisa Durden, we love you. And we will chaticize next Tuesday night, a week from
next
today.
Next Tuesday. We didn't get to all the stories, but we got to the very good ones.
All right. Mucho amor. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. You too. See you next Tuesday.
All right. Coming up, the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. But first, we'll be taking a break, and then we will continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.